seriously popular.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend, Mark Gordon, disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
So the jury of six men and five women in the trial of Constance Martin and Mark Gordon have finally retired to consider their verdicts. They were sent out by Judge Mark Lucraft KC, the Recorder of London, shortly after 4 o'clock today. They first took their seats to hear the opening in this trial more than 3 months ago on Thursday, January the 25th.
Welcome to episode 23. The jury retires.
So in the last couple of hours, Jack, Judge Mark Lucraft KC, as we said, sent this jury out to finally consider their verdicts. Now, before he did this, he talked them through what's known as a route to verdict document. Now, this effectively sets out the decision-making steps that they should think about and take before they can reach verdicts on each of the counts. And just to remind you, there are five counts in this trial: concealing a birth, child cruelty, causing or allowing the death of a child, manslaughter by gross negligence, and perverting the course of justice. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon have pleaded not guilty to all five charges.
Yeah, so what we'll do today is lead you through what the jury were told in those final minutes before they retired to consider their verdicts, both explaining how each verdict could be reached and providing a brief summary of the key points from the defence and prosecution cases. You're going to have to bear with us a bit today, as some of this is quite technical, but this is some of the legal instructions that the judge gave to the jury. Within each of the charges the couple face, he said he wanted the jury to answer a number of questions.
So, dealing with the first charge, that is concealing a birth, the judge said the verdicts should be the same for both defendants, and there were a few steps the jury had to take to reach a verdict, but that the first two were actually decided for them. The first question he said they had to answer was whether they were satisfied, so they were sure, that Constance Martin had given birth to a baby. And he told them, there's no issue on this, your answer is yes.
The judge then proceeded to the second question, which was, are you satisfied, so you're sure, that the defendants endeavoured to conceal the birth of a child? And he told them there was also no issue on this question either, and their answer also had to be yes. So it's only at this point that the jury were told they should start considering matters more closely. The judge said the jury had to consider whether they were satisfied, so they were sure, that the defendants concealed the birth of the child by secretly disposing of the dead body of baby Victoria. He said if their answer was yes, their verdicts would be guilty in respect of both defendants. If no, their verdicts should be not guilty in respect of both defendants.
Okay, so then he moved on to the second charge. Now, this is child cruelty. The judge again said the verdict should be the same for both defendants. The first question he said was, are you satisfied the defendants were each over the age of 16? Again, not an issue for debate. So then on to the second question. They had a responsibility for a child under the age of 16. Again, that's not disputed. So the third question on the child cruelty charge, he said, was split into a few different subjects. Firstly, are the jury satisfied so they're sure that the defendants neglected the child? Now, if the answer to that question is yes, he said, they should move to the next question. If not, they should consider the next part of this question. Are they satisfied so they're sure that the defendants exposed the baby? In other words, exposed her to the elements. If the answer to that question is yes, they move to question four. If not, the defendants are not guilty of child cruelty. I know that's a little bit complicated, but what he was basically explaining was that all 11 of the jurors have to be sure that child cruelty was committed through exposure. Or alternatively, all 11 of the jurors have to be sure it was committed by neglect. It was not sufficient, he said, for half of them to be in one camp agreeing to exposure and half of them to be in the other agreeing that it was committed by neglect. He said they all have to be sure that it was one or the other.
So question four on the child cruelty charge was whether the jury was sure that the neglect or exposure was likely to have caused the baby unnecessary suffering or injuries. If the answer was yes, they should find the defendants guilty of child cruelty. If no, they should find them not guilty. Now, you'll remember from the previous episodes that we said if the jury found the defendants not guilty of child cruelty, they have been directed to also find them not guilty of causing or allowing the death of a child and gross negligence manslaughter. In other words, the two most serious charges in this case.
So the judge then told the jury that they should consider count four before count three. Now, that means they should consider the charge of manslaughter by gross negligence before they consider the charge of causing or allowing the death of a child. The first question on the manslaughter charge, he said, was whether there was a duty of care to the child in this case. This, he said, was not an issue, so the jury could move directly to the second question, whether they were sure both defendants breached that duty of care towards their child.
They were then asked to consider whether they were sure the breach of the duty of care gave rise to a serious and obvious risk of death to baby Victoria. If the answer was no, they acquitted the defendants of this charge. If it was yes, then they have to ask themselves whether they were sure the breach of that duty of care caused or made a significant contribution to the death. If they're sure of that, they were told, they should consider whether the breach of the duty of care amounts to gross negligence. It's only after answering yes to this fifth question, along with all the other ones, that they can find the defendants guilty of manslaughter by gross negligence. Otherwise, the judge said, they must acquit the defendants on this charge.
So then he turned to the charge of causing or allowing the death of a child. And he told the jury to consider, firstly, whether Constance Martin and Mark Gordon were part of the same household as Victoria. Again, this isn't in dispute, he said. So the jury can go to the next question, whether they're sure both defendants had frequent contact with Victoria. Again, he said, not in dispute. So the next question they should consider was whether they're sure there was a significant risk of serious physical harm being caused to Victoria by one of the defendants. If they're sure, they had to consider the next question, whether they're sure she died of an unlawful act by at least one of the defendants.
If they were sure of this, the judge said, they had to consider whether they were sure Mark Gordon was the person who caused Victoria's death or ought to have been aware of the risk of serious harm to Victoria and then failed to take the steps he could reasonably have been expected to take to protect Victoria from death. And then finally, that her death took place in circumstances Mark Gordon foresaw or should have foreseen. They were then told to ask the same questions about Constance Martin. If they were sure for both defendants of all these questions, then they were guilty of causing or allowing the death of a child.
Then finally he turned to count five, which is perverting the course of justice. He said the jury should be satisfied that there was a series of acts which tended to pervert the course of justice. He said it was a matter for the jury, but they may well think this element was not in issue. The final question on this was whether they were sure the defendants did what they did with the intent to pervert the course of justice. In other words, the police investigation. Again, he said, if they're sure of this, the defendants are guilty of perverting the course of justice.
So that was the end of their route to verdict. But before the jury was sent out, they were given a brief summary of the competing arguments of the defence and prosecution, which the judge based on the primary arguments from the closing speeches.
So the judge said the prosecution's case was that throughout, the defendants had sought to keep baby Victoria's existence a secret, and they tried to keep secret that they hid her body decomposing in a bag of rubbish. Constance Martin's account to police after her body was found, the prosecution said, was demonstrably false, not mentioning feeding before the baby's death or the baby's temperature. The prosecution said these were both important matters when considering hypothermia, along with Constance Martin's credibility. They also argued that she was an unreliable witness with a history of lying, and that the expert who gave evidence in her defence, Professor Peter Fleming, based his conclusions almost exclusively on her account. The judge said the prosecution also highlighted issues such as the flimsy tent and the lack of baby clothes being bought after the car fire on January the 5th. The prosecution argued also that Mark Gordon's silence at trial was significant and should be held against him.
On behalf of Mark Gordon, the judge said his defence barrister submitted that Victoria was very much loved by both parents. Their decision to live in a tent was a temporary measure. Victoria's death was a tragic accident, according to the defence. It was also argued that the defendants had ample time to dispose of the body of Victoria in the form of a burial or cremation, but they chose not to. This, it was argued, showed they did not intend to dispose of her body. Mark Gordon, his defence argued, was in an invidious position when it came to giving his own account, as he was at risk of undermining Constance Martin.
On behalf of Constance Martin, the judge said, her defence barrister argued that the death of Victoria was a tragic accident, not the result of criminal conduct. It was argued there was no evidence Victoria suffered cold stress and no evidence the conditions ever became dangerously cold. Professor Fleming was an acknowledged leading expert in his field, and he said death by hypothermia in these circumstances was very unlikely. Constance Martin's account, it was argued, is both credible and consistent with other known circumstances of the deaths of breastfeeding babies, which was set out by Professor Fleming and other experts. Constance Martin's behaviour after January the 12th, it was argued, was consistent with the grief and fear she was enduring.
So, after that summary, the judge finally sent the jury into retirement to consider their verdicts, telling them he needed unanimous verdicts on each count. We'll take a quick break there.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We can chat to David Banks now. He's a media law expert and a consultant with many, many years of reporting and covering trials. Now, he talked me through why now is the most sensitive part of the trial process and why we all now need to be really careful not to do anything to interfere with the jury's deliberations. So, David, we know now the judge has sent this jury out to deliberate, to consider their verdict. Can you just walk us through now what happens in terms of our role, the media's role now in what we can and can't do, but in particular, why that's so important for this process to be seen through to its conclusion and us not to in any way influence the process?
Well, the trial now has kind of reached its most sensitive moment. The jury are out. They've heard all the evidence. They've heard the closing speeches by the prosecution and the defence, and they've heard the summing up from the judge. And so the trial is at its most sensitive moment because the jury are now considering all of what they've heard over the last several weeks, and they're trying to reach a unanimous verdict. And so this is the point at which they are seen by the law and the courts as most sensitive to kind of outside influence. If something is broadcast or published or on a podcast that the jurors get access to, they read or hear or watch, that unduly influences them, that introduces some information to them that might prejudice them in some way or unduly influence them in some way, then that's the greatest danger of, you know, potentially collapsing the trial if you know, jurors are interfered with in that way. And so the media know, they know the law, they're trained in these things, that this is the point at which you don't start publishing or broadcasting things that might have that impact on the jury. Now, the jury are warned not to go online, not to do research and things like this into the trial. But the law approaches different both ways. It tells the jurors they mustn't look for this kind of information. And it also tells us in the media we mustn't publish or broadcast that kind of information at this stage. Now, we can talk about what the jury have already heard. We can talk about the things that have been said in the trial, the evidence and things like that, that the jury have seen and heard themselves, that because that's not going to be prejudicial. They've heard it in the court and things like this. But what the media mustn't do, and this includes members of the public on social media as well, is bring in background stuff, things that the jury haven't heard, which might be prejudicial about the two defendants, because that is the thing that has the capacity to prejudice them in their deliberations. And like I said, it could potentially be a cause for declaring a mistrial and starting all over again, and has very serious consequences for the media who do this, because they would be potentially charged with contempt of court, and there's an unlimited fine for contempt of court, so fines in the, you know, tens of thousands up to £100,000 easily.
There's quite a good example of this happening before, isn't there, as well, David, with the Leeds United footballers?
Well, that's right, exactly. And the jury in that case were out doing their deliberations. And when they were out, the Sunday Mirror published an interview with the father of the victim of in that trial, in which he talked about his experience of racism. Now, racism was an element that was specifically excluded from that trial. It was an ordinary assault trial. It wasn't a racially aggravated assault or anything like this. And so there, the Sunday Mirror introduced this element that the jury had not been taught, nothing was talked about that during the trial. Some jurors were aware of this interview that had gone in the Sunday Mirror, and so the whole trial was stopped. The Sunday Mirror was prosecuted for contempt of court and fined £75,000 for that. And as a result of that as well, the editor of the Sunday Mirror, Colin Miley, he resigned as a result of the actions of his paper. Even though he hadn't actually been involved in that decision, he felt it was his place as the editor to resign.
Thank you very much, David, again for your insight.
So that's it for today. We'll be watching now for the verdicts in this case and we'll bring you up to date as soon as the jury decide them.
Constance Martin and Mark Gordon deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child, child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
You can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Our hit series, Everything I Know About Me, is back for a brand new season. And this time, our guest needs no introduction.
Of course you find me, Darren!
But here's one anyway.
Hi, I'm Gemma Collins, and this is Everything I Know About Me.
If you think you know all about Gemma Collins, think again, because this is the GC as you've never heard her before.
It's been exhausting.
Unashamed.
And I was really heartbroken because I was pregnant and he was having an affair.
Unfiltered.
I have had an operation as well years ago. I have a designer vagina. Yeah, baby. I don't have camel toe.
Unbelievable.
And then they advised me, you need to have a termination. And, yeah, I remember that being really stressful.
Everything I Know About Me with Gemma Collins is out this Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.